This is a day I've been looking forward to for 2.5 years.
We're really proud of Timeline.
We're going to reimagine Windows.
Microsoft is announcing the breakthrough game console called Xbox.
We've created a platform attuned to consumers' changing behaviors and an evolving sense of play.
We set out to make the best watch in the world.
And today, we're introducing Nexus 7.
This is it, Xbox One.
And we are calling it iPhone.
The latest news, the newest products, the biggest names. Welcome to Your Tech Report. Online at yourtechreport.com. Join Mitchell Whitfield and Marco Flalo for the next hour of Your Tech Report.
And welcome to another episode of Your Tech Report. Thank you for being with us each and every single week. I am Marco Flalo in Montreal, as always, joined by Mitchell Whitfield in Los Angeles. Mitchell, it feels like it's been so long since we've done this.
You know what, Mark? I'm just very happy that I'm able to keep... to fit my radio schedule in with my surgical schedule.
It's trying to balance.
Getting
to that point, is it?
We've gotten to that age. I will be the big 6-0 this year after all. So
what?
Yeah, exactly. Don't even
I gotta
go
write
there.
That down somewhere.
I know. I'll forget it. You better write it down. Is exactly right.
Someone's gonna send an invitation or something. Hang on. When you turned the big 5-0, I showed up by surprise with 5-0 balloons that my wife had to hold. So secure in a convertible.
Well,
I rented
now,
a convertible for this.
I'm at the age where she's at risk of being lifted off the ground, I think. I think that's really...
Oh, this is a problem.
Yeah, this is a big problem.
Just out of curiosity, would a dancing, singing be okay instead?
After you get canceled, you tell me.
Okay, fine.
How's
then we'll go with that one.
How's
and I'll
that
bleep
answer?
That out so no one heard that. So we'll go with that. Okay? So if you're wondering what on earth I just said, you'll never know. We're going to bleep that out because Mitchell just may be a little bit paranoid about what we're talking about here. So that's okay. We'll go there. Okay,
no,
Mitchell.
Let's do that. Yes, sir.
Awesome show lined up today because we are going to be speaking to the head of mobile for Samsung Canada, Raj Doshi. He's been on the show before.
Yes, he is.
Talking all about Galaxy Impact. More importantly, quite honestly, and I've done a couple of radio shows and TV shows this week, and I've gone on and they said, oh, so what's new from Samsung? And I rattled off the stats of the phones in like 30 seconds, the hardware.
Right.
Because hardware doesn't even matter anymore. It's like we've gotten to the point.
We talked about this years ago.
Oh, yeah. We've all got a slab of glass with a touchscreen. That's great. Software, and I swear, Mitchell, I don't know if you've watched any of the coverage. They are like now miles and leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else. And I really am not sure how the others are going to compete because of the fact that there are partnerships here with Google and there are Samsung specific things that they can patent, and to copy is just going to be a blatant ripoff. So I'm very curious how they're going to accomplish copying some of these features that they're going to have to if they even want to compete, like live translation of phone calls. That's probably the easy one.
Right.
But just there's so many cool features, but we'll get into all of it with the Raj. I promise we'll get into it.
I'm not giving you a hard time. I'm waiting. I'm being patient for once.
I know.
Yeah.
Plus, we're also going to talk to two cool companies from CES. We're going to talk to Barsys, all about their... If you want to be a mixologist at home and you just want to do it with an app, this is the perfect company, the perfect product for you. And a company that won the Sleep Tech Award at CES, it's an app called Pocket Kato. Well, we'll figure it out when we get the creator on this show as well. And I mean, other than Samsung this week and the end of CES, the only excitement of my life is the new DJI Mic 2.
Now
which I'm holding in my hand.
Now we're going to talk about that. I really want to talk about that product because I almost feel like by the way, that was the mic he was unzipping. I just want to be clear what kind of radio show this is.
Yes.
This is a strike two, by the way, Mark. This is strike two.
Wow. The DJI mic comes in a wonderful leather pouch. That zipper was the one unzipping.
Yes, it was.
Oh, my God.
You know, but it brings up a couple of conversation points for me. Number one, I'm starting to wonder, and I've wondered this before, but now it's becoming even more of an issue. Are products coming out at a rate now where I haven't fully gotten to enjoy or explore the previous product? Now, I know it's easy to say, well, we've been dealing with that with phones for years, right?
Yeah.
Phones for years have been giving us that issue where, well, okay, is the iPhone 15 really that much of a big bump over the 14? Is it worth a purchase if I have the 14? That's a problem. And that's a question for me. Another question is, are companies starting to price the consumer out of products they are used to? And what I mean by that is, and this is sort of Apple specific, we'll come back to DJI in a second. This thing is Apple specific, where the Pro name used to mean their more premium product. If you want the nicer version of, there's the regular and then there's the pro. Whether it was your Mac, whether it was your phone, whether it was your iPad, the pro moniker always meant the nicer, more feature-filled version of, correct?
Yeah, or the pro or the ultra or whatever,
right,
I guess.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But now I'm feeling that the pro name is starting to mean something else. The pro name is starting to separate itself not just in features, but in cost, to the point where I think we're going to see the pro products really designed more for professionals that can afford or have their businesses pay for these products. Because, I mean, let's look, the iPhone, of course, the iPhone Pro has always been a little nicer. And I think when they, you know, when they differentiated, they had the regular iPhone and the iPhone, they don't call it the Max. What do they call the regular iPhone, the larger iPhone?
Plus.
The Plus, right?
Yep.
So you have two different versions of the iPhone. You have two different versions of the Pro. Now that we have similar versions of each, I think we're going to see more separation. And we're starting to hear about the new iPad Pro moving to an OLED screen. It's a huge rumor, but it's obviously true. They've been talking about production with Samsung making OLED panels, LG making OLED panels separately for the different iPads. But we're hearing that the iPad Pro is now going to be significantly more expensive because of this OLED panel. So I'm starting to wonder, the products that I've always liked to use, like the Pro products, and especially the iPads, are we going to see so much of a price separation in these lines of products that it's going to take away from the average consumer just wanting something a little nicer, to the point where it's going to be substantially more expensive and take a whole market segment out and make it really for a professional buyer, not just a pro user? Does that make sense?
It does, and it brings up a couple of interesting things. One thing I think has been a mistake, and I think the mistake has been,
I agree, but go ahead,
giving that pro moniker to anything that wasn't for that market.
Right.
You know, they shouldn't have put a pro on just to be able to justify a price
better.
Hike.
Yeah, just to make it a little better. Yeah.
Exactly. When it was a little better. For example, and you see, the iPad, I don't think is the best example right now because
I think it's going to be.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. And I think a MacBook Pro is an example from an Air.
Mm-hmm.
In cases like, I think in the Galaxy S24, I think the Ultra is a great differentiating point from the 24 and the 24 Plus because it's got substantially superior hardware. On the iPad side, I think the iPad has always been confused. It never really fit anywhere.
It came out as a
necessity, I think, to get a media consumption device out that was separated from the iPhone. But the iPhone has now grown into a point in both shape, size, and performance that it kind of makes the iPad a little bit irrelevant.
Hmm.
Now, they're trying on the Pro side with software to differentiate it by giving you Pro software, but that's not limited to those iPads.
It could be
used on any iPad.
Yeah.
The only differentiating point that makes it a Pro device right now, because it wasn't the same 5 years ago, is Thunderbolt versus Lightning or USB-C.
That's true,
what sets it apart. So if you want to plug in and access that hardware. So again, you're a pro creator. You use video. You use audio. You use photos. You take a lot of photos out there. You plug your camera right in. You can do stuff with it. But they're also doing that on the iPhone now, too.
I know.
Like the iPhone Pro Max is like, it's confused too, because it supports all those things as well. So, yeah, like, I mean, and going back to your fact on pricing, it makes it even more confusing. Like, you know, making this go full circle to the DJI Mic 2.
Right, right.
The DJI Mic 2 is a beautiful device, but it is so similar to the Mic 1. The only difference really is software features, quite honestly, which do require hardware, things like 32-bit float, and design. That's the only difference. But those design elements are natural progressions and things they made mistakes on in the first one. It's not stuff that's like, oh, this is so superior. It's like, let's fix this. You get hard to scroll.
We got feedback. Let's make it a little easier to ABC. You fill in the blank there. Yeah,
exactly. And price wise, why I say it's confusing is because the new DJI mic, and I'll talk in Canadian dollars for a second because it's in front of me, $479 for the kit. Okay. but you can still get the original one for $349, so over $100 cheaper. And there's no reason other than 32-bit float and a little bit easier to control.
Which, if you're a pro user, is a big deal, because explain what that means in terms of real,
okay, so
of real-time use. It makes a big difference.
If you don't know what it is, it's very simple. In traditional audio, if you yelled into a microphone, if you were in a very loud environment, it's not capturing enough data to be able to let you do anything with that. So it clips. So you'd hear it crunch, you'd hear it get very loud, and it would just get all distorted.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do to fix that. You could try to use EQ, like getting lows and highs and mids and getting rid of certain frequencies to try and repair it, but there's no real repairability. So I've always told people, record it quieter than louder, because you can at least boost that and fix it.
Correct.
32-bit float captures so much more data, hundreds of thousands of more data points, that if you yell into a microphone, and yes, you might hear it distort when you're recording it, you can go in after and just go, let's bring it all down. And it doesn't affect the background noise or anything. It affects the audio quality at which you're recording. So that's why it's a big deal. And quite honestly, it's a geekier deal for us audio geeks, but it almost is more important for those people who don't know what the hell they're doing, because it lets them just do whatever they want.
Yeah.
They don't have to worry about setting it. They don't have to. It actually takes the need for professionals kind of out of the equation and makes it easier for just the everyday guy to just record and go, oh, well, I can watch this, highlight and save, which would bring me into another rant, by the way, about software.
We have multiple rants right now, by the way.
Of that. It's a rant. It's a ranty show today, guys.
It is. It's a rant fest. Yeah.
I could go into this rant another time. The short and the long of this rant is that, you know, I use Adobe products, Adobe Audition, Adobe Premiere. Lots of people use them for video editing.
Yep.
There's software on the iPad and stuff like that. And there is so much more innovation and attention paid to the video side of things that features that should come to audio first are now making their way into Premiere before I even get an opportunity to play with it in Adobe Audition. And that pisses me off, and it should piss off people who are audio people, podcasters and stuff like that, who are recording audio, because why on earth are those features going there? I know the answer. The answer is that so many more people are doing both audio and video.
Yeah, but you know what?
Premiere is never going to be just an audio editor.
As we've learned and shared with our listeners over the years, and thank you for listening, by the way, people, and this is when we were talking, when we started, you know, doing stuff on YouTube as well as the radio show. And we were talking to people, you know, that had been doing YouTube for a while, and some people that, you know, created software and hardware. And they said, look, when you're doing these YouTube videos, keep one thing in mind in terms of quality. If you're going to put money into getting good quality of something, whether it's audio or video.
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
And I just want to preface about what you're about to say.
Yeah.
That this is not only for YouTube. This is the case with any video or
any
movie
any visual
or production
medium.
Whatsoever.
Any visual
exactly.
medium. People will tolerate a mediocre picture.
Yeah.
They will never tolerate mediocre sound. And whether they realize that or not, people are much more likely to go, nope, and turn it off, whether it's a click on their computer, whether it's a click on their television or leaving a movie, whatever it is. If the audio quality is poor, regardless of how gorgeous your cinematic visuals are, people will instantly leave. So if there's going to be an area where you want to put your money initially, make sure the sound is good. Do videos on your phone. Do videos on phone is like a professional camera now, but I'm saying, you know, even if you had a little vlogging camera that was okay, that barely did 720p, it's okay. People will understand, especially it's considered stylized now. We don't call things bad quality.
This is my
720p
style.
Exactly. We don't call it bad image quality. We call it, it's very stylized, but they will not tolerate, listeners, viewers will not tolerate
the audio,
poor audio, and whether
they
realize it or not.
And that is a cognitive thing. That is something about your brain and just the way it handles the information that comes into it. And I think it's because our ears are more sensitive than our eyes in terms of how it affects your brain. Like, you'll see bright lights on the screen. You'll be like, oh, that's annoying. But you hear a bad audio, you're like, turn that off. I need to get out of here.
Exactly right.
That's the difference.
Yep. Totally
this has
great.
Become a very intellectual, very deep
it
conversation.
Has. But
Mitchell.
I mean, but think about how we started this. I mean, you started the rant with, you know, me talking about, you know, not being able to enjoy products before, you know, before a new one comes out. And it's happening with drones. Every time a new DJI Mini comes out, I'm like, oh,
true.
I blew it. I should have waited another year. But by that metric, you'll never buy anything, because every year over
but that's,
year.
But that's why I think that this this idea of going to a longer product cycle.
I would love it.
It would be cool. Would be cool. That being said, I think it only has a specific use case. Like, phones have become disposable. They really are disposable.
Like televisions.
They probably have a four-year... don't even get me started on TVs.
I know.
Because TVs... I mean, you get a 4K beautiful 120Hz TV for $400 these days.
I know.
Sorry. Yeah. For $120, go to Target.
I know. It's crazy.
And these are TCLs, Hisense companies
TCLs,
that
good
you used
quality.
To think were cheap TVs.
No.
These are great,
great TVs.
Quality products.
Yep.
Reminds
exactly.
me, I gotta get TCL on the show.
They always make great TVs, and we love them.
I know, they make great. And this year, it's been phenomenal.
Oh, I know, don't even go there.
I gotta ask you a quick question before we go to a break. We got about, let me do the quick math here.
We got about
2.5 minutes left. You know, we're a week after CES. Mm-hmm. You had surgery, you didn't go. I didn't, you know, my thing, I stayed here. Is there anything that you could think of that came out of CES that was like, oh, because I can't think of one item wowed me.
You know what? This sort of speaks to exactly what we're talking about. I thought this CES was an incremental CES. There were no, you know, I saw some products on the medical side, maybe again, because of all this, you joke around the surgeries and you joke around, we were joking about my age, but you know, you talk about accessibility, you talk about medical products, how they integrate with our mobile devices, with our daily life, non-intrusive monitors, for diabetics, for sleep tracking, for blood pressure, for well-being. And I just think the more, and now, of course, you know, we have this huge thing with Apple being forced yet again by, was it an appellate court or by another court that said, no, you have to take them off the shelves, take your, you know, Apple watches off the shelves again.
It's a patent.
Yeah, it's a patent infringement. Yeah.
Find a way around.
Exactly.
And by the way, it doesn't affect Canada. It's only you guys.
Oh, is it really?
It's only certain jurisdictions.
And by the way, I think they can, by software, deactivate the sensor anyway.
That's what the plan was. Haven't done it yet.
Yeah, they will be doing that. So I'm definitely more tuned in with the health products, and I saw some really cool ones, but overall, we didn't have that, oh my God, they're making a drone, a flying camera, where they used to have these great big announcements. Not so much anymore.
Lots of stuff still to come. A couple cool companies from CES are coming up on this week's show. Pocket Kato, an app to help you. If you've got insomnia, you're going to want to listen to this one. And, of course, Samsung's Raj Doshi. So many cool things to talk about when it comes to software. I don't know how many people I've spoken to, all of them iPhone people, who now are not only Samsung curious, but these are people that are talked about, where can I trade my iPhone in? How can I get this? That has not happened thanks to hardware. That is a software thing. So I'm curious to see how Apple comes back and attacks this one, especially when their focus right now is all about the eyes on the Apple Vision Pro, which is we're a couple weeks away from Apple Vision Pro. And Mitchell, you can go and try it out. I can't. So anyhow, stick around. It is your Tech Report. He is Mitchell Whitfield. Get in touch at your Tech Report on all our social media when we come back, or if you're, you know, listening.
Hi, I'm Connie Thiessen, the host of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. We focus on Canada and the challenges facing Canadian radio and TV, as well as highlighting those moving the industry forward from podcasting and streaming to new broadcast tech. Check us out at BroadcastDialogue.com or your favorite podcast app.
What happens when we play outside? We become healthier, both mentally and physically. We become more creative and more focused. We connect with nature, each other, and ourselves. Let's Take This Outside, a new podcast hosted by me, Marianne Iveson, an aspiring outdoor athlete and nature lover. I speak to athletes, outdoor professionals, and scientists about their connection to nature, how it affects their performance and everyday life. Let's Take This Outside, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and at letstakethisoutside.ca.